Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day dear listeners, you're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day Ross.
Hello Jono.
Shabbat, it's iconic to the Jewish people. It's part of our identity. It really, really is. And there's, it's in the news over in Israel at the moment because what's happened is that I think Ben-Gurion, you know, we're going back to the time of Ben-Gurion, made a law and said that the day off is Shabbat. You know, we don't work, the shops remain closed. But my understanding is that local councils have gone, I can make some allowances, and they've done, you know, they've bent the rules and whatever, found some loopholes.
Slowly but surely, it's gotten less and less
it's
strict
kind of
in some places.
It's kind of eroded it away, and it's got less strict. And so there are those who have said, well, we've got to make the law more clear, and we've got to make sure that these shops are closed on Shabbat because it is part of our Jewish identity. It's the Jewish state, and this is what we need to do. Now, there's a mix of reactions, and it's really, really interesting. Do you think that it should be mandatory? What do you think?
Well, I do. I will say this. When you're in Israel, for those of us who seek to follow the Torah, it certainly makes it a lot easier. It's less convenient to break the law, if you will, you know. But if there are allowances, people tend to get lax. And so I understand the strong stand as far as keeping those laws in place, enforcing them, and so forth.
I'm kind of in favor for it. I mean, listen. I mean, you know, according to Exodus chapter 16, do your shopping the day before, and according to the fourth commandment, take Shabbat off. That's all it is.
Hey, look, just stop. Now, look, I tell you, somebody that did uphold a strong stand, the Haredim, did you see this article? They actually, several, 30 in fact, disembarked a Boston to Tel Aviv flight. It was supposed to take off at 7:45 en route to Tel Aviv, but it was delayed on the tarmac, very late. And so these 30 they said, we're not going to take a chance on arriving in Israel and violating Shabbat. And they got off the plane. Good for them.
Yeah,
I mean, they just said, hey.
Yeah, that's right. Standing by their principles and good on them for disembarking. Because if you get there late, you've got to find a taxi. You've got to do all this sort of stuff. And if you're going to run out of time and you're going to get there late, hey, you know, that's I can understand that. We're going to be talking about modes of transport a little bit later in this program, aren't we?
Let's do it. We've got some good stuff
to talk
about.
We've got a whole lot more to discuss in this week's program, and it's going to be somewhat controversial. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
I'm a little bit confused. I'm a little perplexed. Maybe you can help me. The Times of Israel has an article. It is entitled, and I'm going to change the title of this article a little bit. People can see the original article on our Israel on My Mind Facebook page. But it's entitled, "This Jewish Woman is Creating the World's First, Shall I Say, Female Reproductive Organ Museum." Can I say that?
Okay.
This is a family show after all.
That's right.
Okay. There's another word.
Children could be listening.
Children could be listening. And there's nothing wrong with that word, but I'm just being sensitive. Now, Florence, how do I pronounce this? Florence Schechter.
Florence Schechter, it looks like.
Florence Schechter. Did you do biology at school?
I did.
Well, I did biology at school. Is there anything else that we need? Do we need a museum? I mean, there's a lot of questions here, and I thought maybe this was a joke.
It is a strange museum, I would think. What is this thing about?
Well, I wondered if it was a joke. Now, she, of course, she's a Jewish comedian, yeah. Okay. It says 9 months after announcing that she is creating the world's first female reproductive organ museum, she is confident that she has heard every joke on the subject, no doubt. But you know, I wondered, is this actually a joke? But she is absolutely determined to create this. Would you go to a museum like this?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would. But, you know, it does look like, as I look through, there are reasons. Now, she doesn't have the funding for this yet. She's trying to raise but she's talking about there's some various perceived inequalities associated with women. She also wants to bring up among those, I'm looking at the article in Times of Israel, about female mutilation, genital mutilation.
Now, that's a fair thing. I mean, if she wants to bring attention to that and combat that and come against that, I think that's a worthy cause. Does it require a museum? I don't know. I mean, admittedly.
Yeah, it seems kind of strange to me. I mean, she's got some good causes. It looks like she's trying to bring awareness to sex trafficking, sexual assault, shaming campaigns, other things of that nature. But it is a little bit strange. Now, where does she want to put this museum?
She wants to put it in Birmingham, I think. She feels that it's a very progressive, it's in England anyway, whatever, and she feels it's progressive enough to put a museum like that there without offending too many people. Now, who would be offended? Well, I think we know particularly who would be offended, particularly if she's combating female genital mutilation, but she's doing her best to put it in a place.
Raise awareness.
And raise awareness in a place that's not going to be too much opposition, she thinks. And when asked where she would find the funding, she replied, "Oh man, I wish I knew." And then she corrected herself. She said, "Oh, a woman, I wish I knew," before settling on "Oh, person, I wish I knew."
She's
very politically correct. But it got me wondering. I thought, if there's a museum like this for the female reproductive organ, is there one for men? And lo and behold,
oh no,
no, there is. Guess where it is?
I in London. I don't know.
No, it's actually in Iceland.
Now, Iceland.
Yes, for the male reproductive organ, there's a museum. So now that gets me thinking. Well, then if there's one for guys, then I guess to be fair, that deserves one to be. I mean,
what is this show? Is this going to be like the strangest museums on the planet? I mean, what have you found?
Do you know what? There must be a list. We should find that. And speaking of lists, we were talking about what was last week's list was the happiest. Oh, it was happiest, right? And you got to admit, Iceland was right up there on the happy scale.
You think it's because of this museum?
Is that museum
actually already there?
It's already there, apparently. Now, not only that, but Iceland is going to, it appears on another list that we're going to be going through later on in the program. And I'm just saying it's a good list. It's the 25 richest countries in the world. Now, Israel was on the happiest. It was number 11, I think, on the happy scale out of 155 countries. Iceland's right up there on that, and also up there on the richest. And they have the male reproductive organ museum over there.
Very strange museums you found there, Jono. I'm glad that none of these are on our tour.
She wants equality. Well, I didn't even think of that. Well, no, this is in London, so I don't know that that Jerusalem has anything. But I'll tell you what Jerusalem does have, and that's strip clubs. Now, I didn't know that until, right, speaking of...
Ah, yeah, I saw this.
This is, you know, again, Yair Netanyahu, the son of...
Now, he just got in trouble for not cleaning up his dog mess, remember that?
I was going to say he put his foot in it again, but this is not what he did last time. He didn't put his foot in it. He left it for someone else to put their foot in, and they came along, a neighbor, and took a photo of it and took a photo of him walking away saying, why didn't he clean up the dog mess? Yes.
Right.
He's in trouble again. But this recording, it's on tape. This is something that he said apparently a couple of years ago, and it's taken this long to surface. And, you know, I don't want to get all political and get into the you know, but one of the things he was talking about was he was wanting to, borrow some money
from
a mate for Prostitutes. Man, very, very embarrassing situation.
From what I understand, yeah, they were drinking, and this was from a couple of years ago, actually. And from what I gather from the article, the driver recorded this, and one of his mates is even heard saying, you know, man, if this got out, it would really be hell. And yeah. And lo and behold, it did get out. And not only were they drunk, evidently, but they're bragging about money and talking about women. So Yair has come out now with a public apology and said, hey, sorry about that. Again, you know, one of the accusations is, would they make such a big deal? Imagine if everything our kids did, you know, was put in the news.
Oh, man. I'll say this in his defense. I am so glad that I have been, when I was a kid, there was no Facebook. It wasn't easy to record and videotape all this sort of stuff. I think I'd go and crawl under a rock if half of my youth was documented in such a way. You've got to be so careful these days.
Yeah. Oh, I was so good. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah, of course you were.
No, that's not true. But I'm like you. I'm glad that not everything that I did was scrutinized and recorded and posted. I mean, sometimes social media is a great thing. I love social media, but there are things that people put on the social media that you just have to scratch your head and say, why would you do that? Why would you put that out there?
This is true. And you never know when you're going to be recorded. And especially as the son of a prime minister, you'd think one would be more careful. But after a few drinks, you tend to, you know, and anyway, strip clubs, hookers, prostitutes, whatever. I mean, oh dear. Now, speaking of people without pants, can I keep going with this theme?
you really have found some good news stories this week, Jonah. I have to give it to you.
Come on, this is golden stuff. Okay, now I didn't even know that there was an international no pants day. Did you know?
I did not know that, and I don't know how I would have known that had you not posted this article on our Israel on my mind Facebook page.
I was talking to a New Zealand friend the other day, and she was telling me about an advertisement for an ice cream. I had to look it up, and I encourage people to look up this ad. It was so funny, but she's saying, we were at the beach. It was really hot the other day. We were all at the beach, and she was making jokes with her kids about togs, undies, undies, undies. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And she goes, oh, there's this ad. It's an ice cream ad. Back in New Zealand, togs is what they refer to as your swimmers. You know, your what do you call
it? I didn't know that.
Swim trunks. Right. Yeah. So togs in New Zealand, and you know when what we've referred to as budgie smugglers before. I can't even remember what we were talking about.
Right.
But you know, like those speedos that the swimmers wear, and how far away can you walk from the beach before they turn into your undies? You know?
Yeah.
Apparently, according to this ad, 300 meters, as long as you continue to, you can still see the ocean in the background. If you can't see the ocean, you're in your undies. And if you go further than 300 meters, you're absolutely in your undies. And it just goes through a couple of different scenarios. It's a hilarious ad. Anyway, Jerusalem, last Sunday, no pants day. So the Jerusalem
Times of Israel. Now, look, this is not the first time either. This is the third year running. And it's a worldwide no pants day.
It's only 50 degrees Fahrenheit, 10 degrees Celsius. That's pretty cold to wear no pants.
And I saw in the article that it said the goal of this no pants day is to just have fun and act normal. In other words, you get on the subway, you get on the train, whatever it is, and you just sort of check out the faces of the people that are on the train. Now, what would you do if you were seated on a train or a bus and someone walked in without their pants? I mean,
it would be pretty shocking. I'd be hoping, well, see, now here on the beach where I live, I'd be thinking, you've come a little bit too far. You're past the 300 meter mark. You're now in your undies. You were in your togs, but you're now in your undies. But if you're in, like this is a train ride from I don't know where from Jaffa Street, a 20 minute train ride to Mount Herzl. So it's clearly not. You haven't just been swimming. It's clearly you're in your undies. So now to be perfectly honest too, I'd happily get around. You know, if it was socially acceptable, I'd totally wear my undies everywhere. That'd be a freedom that I'd be happy to have, but it's just not socially correct.
I mean, I like you. You're considered one of my closest friends, but you really are strange. That is a strange, that is a very, very strange thing to say. And you're not just saying this for the radio audience. You actually mean that.
I mean, the comfort and convenience of it, I just think it's great if you're in such a climate anyway. You know, when, I mean, it gets hot here in Australia. Come on, and it's summer at the moment. But, but anyway, maybe I should only, you know, dream of such a thing within 300 meters of the beach. This is what happened in Israel on Sunday, and it's going to happen again next year. It's apparently an international thing. Maybe there's some sort of expression of that here in Australia. Maybe it is in the States too. Maybe you and I should find out about this in time for next year. Get in on the
action. I am not even going to look for this, but I tell you what, we have to go to a break, Jono.
We're going to a break. What are we going to do? I think we've, no, can we ahead, top just, this?
Well, I hope we can do something else. Let's talk about fruit. How about fruit?
Go to something safe. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Before, in our last segment, we were just talking about, I made mention of the 25 richest countries in the world. Just going to go through that. I'd like a good list. And
do you have the whole list? Is this,
I've got the whole,
like,
I've got the 25 in front of me. There is also, okay, by the way, there is, I mean, we, if we wanted to, we could totally shame the 25 poorest countries, but I think that'd be, that's a bit, let's not do that.
Yeah, maybe just pick a few that we don't like and bring them up.
Well, all the usual suspects are there, but I think let's have a look at the, let's start at number 25. So, no, is it 24? So 25 is South Korea. Nice. Been there.
Okay. I've been there. I was stationed
you were stationed
in South Korea,
there. In the military. You were. And that's probably why they're doing so well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it had something to do with it.
Something to do with it. Italy, number 24. Okay, sure. I can understand that. Israel at number 23. How good? How about that?
Wow.
I know.
It says their average income is about 36,000 per capita.
Yeah. Okay. Population 8.5 million, life expectancy 82.1 years. We were talking about that a couple of shows ago. Now, who beat Israel? All right. So at 22, Japan. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is interesting because this is an interesting thing. I remember when we were talking about the happiest countries in the world, I think Japan came in at something like 51 or 52, but Israel was at 11. So it's interesting. Rich countries and happiness don't necessarily go hand in hand. I mean, 51 is not anything to be upset about on a scale of 155, but nevertheless, Japan, number 22. Now, France, 21. New Zealand, 20. Let's see, United Arab Emirates at 19. Belgium at 18. United Kingdom, 17. Hong Kong, 16. Germany, 15. Canada, 14. Finland. Okay. Now here we go. Finland, they were right up there on the happiest list. Austria at 12. And Netherlands, they were right up there on the happy list too. At 11. And number 10 is Singapore. Number 9 is Ireland. Now, that's interesting because Ireland did have a...
Good day, Jason.
Ireland had a financial crisis in 2008, and they're kind of starting to bounce back from that in a fairly rapid rate, it would appear. I mean, they're at number 9 in the world's richest. Now, Australia beat Ireland, number 8. We're there. And then Sweden, and then your fine self is at number 6, the United States. Denmark, number 5. They were right up there in Happy Land as well. And then Iceland. Iceland beat Denmark. They're at number 4 because they've got that museum. They probably pump a lot of money through that museum. Maybe pump's not the right word to use.
Yeah, a lot of money goes through. That's right.
They sell a lot of souvenirs.
I'm sure. So who's number 1, Jono? Just get to number 1. Let's get off this list.
Number three is Luxembourg. Number two is Switzerland. And at number one, Norway.
Norway. Now, we made an association with happy places and cold weather last week. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but it seemed like a lot of the happy places were cold places.
Yeah.
So, but this wealthiest country thing seems all over the place. It's got a lot less to do with, I don't think I can make any connection with that, yeah, but it's interesting.
But having said that, yeah, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland were high on the happy list, and they're high on the richest countries in the world list. Interesting, anyhow, and you know, that's it. But in any case, what was it, 23? Israel made it on the list. Well done, Israel. That's, I mean, good heavens, for the size of Israel to make such a small country to make such a big impact, as we're always pointing out on this program.
That's right.
Doing very, very well. Now, we also went to the break talking about, you were going to talk about fruit. There's a couple of articles.
Bring
them to me. Come on.
Okay. So the first thing I want to, you know, you and I pronounce words differently. In my mind.
No. Let me I got to correct that. I pronounce words correctly and you pronounce them wrong.
See, I don't know. Now, do you say tomato or tomato?
It's tomato. What are you talking
about? I knew that's what you would say, and you are wrong. It's tomato. It's tomato.
Why am I wrong?
You just are. Now, look, did you know that Israelis invented the cherry tomato? That's a pretty common people know.
Not only do I know that, but I've got three growing in my garden as we speak, and I'm very much looking forward to, in a few weeks, hoeing into my own cherry tomatoes. I grow them every year, and I love them. Love.
Do you eat them on salads? Do you eat them?
I have them with my breakfast every single morning.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I love tomatoes as well. In fact, to me, now I love a big tomato and I make tomato sandwiches. Do you eat tomato sandwiches?
I don't mind throwing in some tomato on a, you know, like tomato cheese, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, there is Israel is now a company called Kedma has come up with a new tomato called, they're calling it the drop tomato. Did you see this?
So we have, I've seen like the cherry tomato, which is, you know, like the size of a small golf ball, if you like. And then there's like the grape tomato, which is almost as small.
These are even smaller. Yep, they're even smaller than an Israeli shekel. In fact, they're about the size of a blueberry. And they're produced in the Arava. They have a red and a yellow. The seed was developed in Holland, but it was modified for growth in Israel. It's grown in the Arava. Now, one of the chefs said that he described these tomatoes, as you would say, as simple, clean, nice, and sexy. They explode in your mouth. And so I love tomatoes. So I'm thinking this might be something we could try out. I like them on my salad.
Yep.
I mean, I really love tomatoes.
Yep. I'm going to pick up some of these seeds when we're there next in November and bring them back and put them in the garden, because I would love, I mean, I could have a bag of these and just eat them all day. They look absolutely delicious. And if they are as flavor packed as the other little grape tomatoes that I've been growing, I'm all for it. I absolutely am. Now, do you say potato or potato?
Potato.
It's kind of weird because we say potato too. What's with that?
Well, that's one you got right.
We should be consistent. We should say tomato and potato.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, you're inconsistent. Australians, English. Well, I can't really say we're consistent either. But that's good to hear that you call it potato.
I'm going to call the Queen and ask her about that. So now the other thing that you posted on Israel on My Mind Facebook page had something to do with, are these lemons? What are these?
Yeah, they're huge lemons. In fact, once I posted it, the reason that I saw it and posted it, I thought it was brand new because it was posted by Guinness World Records.
Mm.
But it's actually from January of 2003. It was one of those, you know how on Facebook your memory comes up?
Oh, yeah.
And so it was to say that on this day in January 2003, Aharon Shemuel grew in his Orchard a world record lemon. In fact, there are two lemons in the photo that we posted. The one is the world record. The other one can't be far behind. This lemon weighed 5.265 kilograms. That's 11 pounds, 9.7 ounces. That is more, Jono, than a human head.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh,
this
yeah.
is huge.
Absolutely massive. I'm looking at photos of this now, and I'm thinking, well, if Guinness World Record posted this yesterday, that must mean that the record still stands. And that's since 2003. That's 15 years ago, and the record still stands.
That is a big lemon. Do you like lemon?
I really do. I love lemon. I really, really do. I like, you know, lemon on my fish or whatever, like or over a salad with a little bit of olive oil, whatever. But these are absolutely huge. And at first glance, I thought, oh, these are some citron or something like that, because like the citron is a kind of like a big, massive lemon.
But
this is just unbelievable, this thing. So you'd have to go to now you posted this on Israel on My Mind Facebook page. If people want to see this, you can go and see the pictures there. But like I said, if Guinness World Record posted this yesterday, then I assume that the record still stands.
Well, if it doesn't, I'd like to see the new lemon, because that is an enormous lemon. I mean, if you want lemonade, I don't know what the taste is like on this thing. I assume that it's very, very lemony, and it's very, very big. So
it really, really is. Well, good on him. Anyway, I mean, even in the photo, I can see one in the distance that's not too far behind. I mean, these mustn't be like a one-off sort of thing. He's obviously producing some huge lemons, but it's not. I don't see myself walking out of the supermarket with one of these. I don't know what I'd do with one this size, but in any case, world record.
That's good. I love world records. I like that. You know, I used to sit and read through, I guess they still make the Guinness Book of World Records in print.
Yeah.
And I used to just flip through that as a kid and look at all the world records and think about what could I do to break a world record. Have you ever thought about that?
I remember going through the book myself, because it's fascinating to see, you know, what records are being held. And it just occurred to me, I wonder how many world records are held in the Guinness World Record by Israel. There's something that we can look into. Maybe we can report back on that next week.
Hey, do you know what mine was, what I wanted to break a world record in when I was a kid?
What did you want to do?
I really tried over and over and over. I wanted to break, and I don't remember what the world record was, but did you have a pogo stick when you were a kid?
I remember my mother had one when she was a kid, and it was still kicking around my grandparents' place, and we kind of played with it a little bit. But yeah, what you wanted to set a pogo?
So you at least know what it is.
I know what it is.
I used to jump on those pogo sticks, my brother and I, and we would, I don't know, maybe we get 20 before we fell. But I used to always think that would be something I think I could do. I never did break the world record, but perhaps it's time to try again.
Maybe what you could aspire to, because every time we go to Israel, you're the one that takes, you know, those who are crazy enough to walk up Masada, up the snake trail, you're the one.
I could do the snake trail with a pogo stick.
You could pogo stick on up. Now, pogo stick up, that's kind of, that'd be pretty hard, but maybe down, that'd be entertaining. Be a lot faster.
I think up, I would feel safer doing it up, but let's think about that. I wonder if anybody's ever pogo sticked up Masada.
I guarantee it would attract some serious press, and I think it'd be a win. There's something to consider. I don't know if you can get it. Do they sell them in Israel? Can you bring your own?
I don't know.
Okay, there's something to research.
Let's check into that.
We're going to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doorn and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross.
Hey, let's talk about public transportation.
Go on.
We mentioned last week about a potential train stop close to the Western Wall. There was talk about people naming it after Trump. Do you remember that? Did about that, or did I dream that?
Was it Was that they're gonna name a train station? Is this the same concept they have of a cable car, or is this a different thing?
No, I think it's different. I think this is, we're talking about a train from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and this thing is supposed to, according to an article that's on our Israel on My Mind Facebook page, this thing might be ready to roll by Pesach. They're talking about March 30th, I think. This thing is going to be ready to go. Now, it's going to start off with just some smaller amounts of being able to handle smaller groups, and it's not going to be in full operation. But get this, this train is going to go about 100 miles an hour, 160 kilometers per hour.
Well, that's impressive.
From Tel Aviv to Jerusalem,
would you ride that? I'll be on it for sure. How long would that, I'm guessing that's about a half hour trip.
It's probably pretty quick because, it said that it would really beat this record or beat this trek, which is normally about 78 minutes on train. So think about that, 100 miles an hour carrying 1,000 passengers. I just think this would be fun. Now, would you ride this thing?
I totally would, yeah. It reminds me of, I remember being on a 300-kilometer bullet train or something that, you know, goes from France to, from Paris to London through the Channel. That was kind of cool. I was really wrapped with that. This wouldn't go quite as fast as that, but still 160, sort of sitting there watching everything go by and going from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I would say literally halving the time that it would usually take. I'm very attracted to that idea.
Now, initially, it's going to be one run once per hour on a single line. So that's 1,000 passengers. Mm. They hope to increase it to about 6 of these trips per hour on 2 tracks. I would hope that they would do, you know, going in different directions so you could catch them every 15 minutes or so.
Sounds good.
But now it also said that they're going to be free the first 3 months. I guess it's probably just to encourage people to ride the train.
Yeah.
7 billion shekels is what this thing is going to cost.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay, so let me get this right. We were talking the other week about the $1.4 billion upgrade at Ben-Gurion Airport. That needs to be done because, as you and I have found out, running tours, we've had to juggle dates and do all sorts of stuff because accommodation is scarce. There's so much tourism in Israel at the moment that it's just out of control.
Somebody needs to build some more hotels, I would think.
They need some more hotels, but they have to upgrade the airport to take care of all the tourism and everything. Now you're saying that there's new trains that are going in, fast trains and whatnot. I mentioned just before the cable car that they're talking about putting over the old city. That's kind of interesting. What do you think about that? I'm in two minds about that. I don't want to sort of destroy the skyline of the old city or anything with cables and stuff, but it would be kind of cool to be in a cable car going over.
I'm just not sure. I don't know that I'm very sure exactly where they're going to put these things. And I mean, is it going to bring you right down toward the plaza or I just don't know.
Don't know. It would be, it's more of a novelty, I suppose, from getting from A to B in a very scenic way. It'll be interesting to see if that goes ahead. And the other one I read the other day just briefly is that they're putting in new, opening new bus companies, allowing new bus companies to compete with Egged to transport people around. I think 6 more. You know, competition's always a good thing. So,
yep.
Boy, transportation.
And a lot of it is to deal with the great numbers that Israel's chalking up in terms of tourism. But let me tell you this, Jono, there are some people that are not allowed in Israel. Did you see this article in the J-Post about what's all over the media about Israel list international pro-BDS organizations to be banned from the country? 20 organizations are on this ban list. Did you see this?
I think I heard that some people have already been turned away. They've turned up and gone in, and they've gone, nah, sorry, you're on the list. You can go away. I think that's great. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and they're basically, Israel is turning from defense to offense. In other words, if somebody or a group embraces or advances falsehood and incitement against Israel, Now, they're not talking about individuals so much unless these people are very prominent within these organizations, mm-hmm. like have a senior position or they're very active. But I think it's a good thing. In other words, if you want to come here just to spread falsehood and incitement, then just stay at home because we don't need you. If they're coming over there just to cause problems, stay at home.
Just stay at home.
Your bad press at home. You can stay right there and do it.
Unlike Victoria Koblenko. So she is a Dutch actress, and she went on vacation in Israel, good on her, took a whole lot of photos, and a bunch of people stopped following her on Facebook and sent her a whole lot of...
I saw that. Whole lot of hate mail.
She said, I don't care. And so she posted some more and made a real point of saying, I'll go on holidays where I want. Thank you very much. And I won't be bullied. She said, if you want to unfriend me, so, you know, unfollow me if you disagree. She said, I don't care. So good on her. Just shout out to...
And I'm not so sure that she's a big fan of Israel. She said she likes traveling in the Middle East, and she's been everywhere but I think Iraq and one other Middle Eastern country. So I don't know that she, but people saw her photos in Israel and assumed that she had certain political beliefs. And so that's what she was really mad about. She said, go ahead, unfollow me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway.
We do that to people. If you don't like us, unfollow us.
Who
wouldn't like her?
Jerry Seinfeld was in Israel just recently, and he got into a lot of people got upset at him because he visited a military base or something like that. I didn't get the details on that. But he did a few shows while he was there as well. And so brought his family, I do believe. So good on you, Jerry, for going to Israel. Look, Ringo Starr did a couple of shows. I think he had some things to say about Lord and her cancellation of her gig in Israel. He was very positive about Israel and good on him. So, you know, I like it. I like it when the celebrities, you know, they say, I won't be bullied. I'm going to go.
Yeah. Speaking, you know, we usually bring up some of these people that hate us. And you know, Iran is not a big fan of Israel. That's no secret. I'm not telling anybody things that they don't know. But did you see that Iran has recently banned the instruction of school children in English? Did you see this?
Right. Now, just remind me, wasn't there a French school in Iran? No, or was it in Lebanon? I can't remember now. There was a French school in either Lebanon or Iran that accidentally showed a map. It was a geography lesson.
I remember that.
And
the parents were raising Cain.
Had Israel on it. Oh, no. Heaven forbid. So sorry about that. But now Arut Sheva is reporting Iran bans English lessons in primary schools. Why is that?
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. Once people begin to speak English, the Khomeini says that it opens the door to Western culture. And you can't do that because America, according to this regime, is the great Satan. I mean, the next thing you know, they'll be doing some kind of dance. We did a show on that one time, remember? I mean, it's a slippery slope. Once you learn English, it's just going downhill.
It was, remind me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Iran that there was a group of youth that filmed their own film clip to that that song, Happy? Who's that? But you love that song.
I do love that song.
Feral.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. And they got arrested. Not allowed to be happy. You can't sing Western songs. Absolutely, they can't. You can't be dressed in a way that isn't up to our... what? Now, there's protests against the regime. I mean, if you're going to carry on like this, good heavens, of course there's going to be protests eventually. The thing that I'm confused about is apparently I read that Ahmadinejad was arrested for inciting protests against the current regime. Did you read about that?
I think I saw something about that, but I didn't hear all that. Now, did he actually go to jail?
I don't know.
He's not a very big guy. I mean, he might get hurt in there.
He might. But what I don't know, like, I'm barracking for the protesters, and then all of a sudden there's Ahmadinejad going, yeah, protest, and then I'm confused. Like, what do I do? Do I barrack for How do we, like, I'm not really a fan of his. I mean, I kind of like the way that he doesn't wear a tie. I'll give him that. But but that's about as far as it goes. That's it.
That's the only thing you can say positive about the guy, right? Because he's really a bad character.
He's a bad character. And so I'm not too sure what to make of it. In any case, Iran is in turmoil. There is protests going on, and there deserves to be protests going on with such ridiculous enforcement of rules like this, banning English. I mean, good heavens, is English the international language? Have we gone there yet? Is it French? Is it Spanish? Is it English? What is it?
I don't know, but I know it's not welcome in Iran. They just do not allow it. You know? Now, hey, did you see an Israeli coup? Islamic State goes medieval on Hamas.
There's another thing. Who do you barrack for?
Yeah. What, you know, it's strange.
I want to see, those mixed martial arts. I want to see like the ring with the, and I think they should sort it out like that. They should have like.
Fight it out
on it on a reality TV sort of, you know, set up the ring with the net and all of that sort of stuff and fight it out. One guy from ISIS, one guy from Hamas. Go for it.
Fight it. Yeah. Cage match. Don't let anybody out. This is, you know, these videos are really bad. It's one group battling for, I guess, who can be the baddest, you know. 22-minute video ends with some poor guy getting shot in the head. He's with Hamas and Islamic State. Islamic State accuses Hamas of being soft and failing to fight Israel for the right reasons. In other words, they're saying, we know you're fighting them, but you're not fighting them for the right reasons.
So we're going to kill you.
Golly, man.
It's terrorists executing terrorists. Who do you go for? I just don't know. I
hope they both win.
Grab some popcorn and barrack for the loser. That's what I think. Go for the underdog until they're done.
Until they are no more.
And speaking of no more, we've run out of time for this week. We hope, dear listeners, that you will join us again next week. Until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful day.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.